back, Mike. Thank you. Obviously, you know, Mike is part of the Board of Trustees, and Marilyn was for many years, and also Pastor Mervyn, who sadly we lost last year. He is a great loss to us. But I've stepped up, and I don't think I can match that. But you know, we're here to serve the Lord. Amen. And to do what he wants to do and called us to ask. And I'm just getting ready on this part. So I want to ask a question. What are you told to do with all your heart and your soul? Go on, carry on. You are to love the Lord, your God, with all your heart, your mind. That's what you are to do. What does God do with all his heart and his soul? And all his heart and his mind. Does anyone know? Sorry? Right. Is that what the Bible says? What does the Bible actually say that the Lord does with all his heart and all his soul? Can anyone quote scripture? Would you like to know? Because it's there. Jeremiah. Sorry, you don't have this. Jeremiah 32:41. And I will plant Israel in the land in faithfulness with all my heart and all my soul. That's what God does with all his heart and his soul. Does that surprise you? Because that's his word. And he says in Amos 9:14, and I will restore my people Israel from captivity, and they will rebuild and inhabit the ruined cities, and they will implant the vineyards and drink their wine, and they will make gardens and eat their fruit, and I will firmly plant them in their own land. Never again, hear this, never again to be uprooted from the land that I have given them, says the Lord God. Has that happened? The question is, if this has been fulfilled in the past, then God is lying. He's not a God who can be trusted. Because there have been time and time again when Israel has been in the land, but then uprooted from the land. They have been removed. The last time they were removed was 2,000 years ago. So if this, according to many modern scholars, is a fulfillment that's already been done when he called them back from Babylon, then God's failed. Because the Romans ousted them in 138 AD and removed them for over 2,000 years. That would surely contradict with God, wouldn't it? And his word. And so he says there is coming a time when I will plant them back in the land and they will never ever be uprooted again, but firmly planted. 1948, many believed that that was the miracle that happened overnight. You imagine a desperate, dispirited people who were almost obliterated. Can you imagine within 2.5 years had become a nation again? Overnight. But they did not come into that land and they did not make an independent state without war. And Ezekiel 36 says this, is that you will suffer, and in a time of war will I plant you back in the land. I will put you back in the land. And then he says, I will wash you and I will make you clean. And then you will become mine and I will become yours. And I believe that is possibly the stage that we're at this moment. We're at a stage where God has planted them back in the land. But so many of them are not washed and cleaned. And this is what we have to understand as believers. For this reason, and I don't want to be political here because My focus isn't on that. We have to understand that not everything humans do is right. Not everything that humans do is holy. God may plant Israel back in the land, but they have to live. They have to be washed and cleaned, and they have to do what God desires them to do and be like God desires them to be. Would you agree with that? And that is the key. That's the importance. And we have to have a balance here. Because people mistake political Israel. And they see it, and they see them in the land, and they see the troubles and the pains, and I'll be speaking about this later on. They speak about the troubles and the pains, and they will say, God does not support political Israel. He does not support them in the land, and that there is suffering going on. This is true, that there is suffering going on, but there is a bigger battle going on, and it's a spiritual one. You see, it's not that just people don't want Israel in the land. It's God's enemy does not want Israel in the land, because Israel are back in the land for a reason and a purpose, and it's God's. God's purpose. It's God's ultimate purpose. And it isn't just to put Israel in the land, and it isn't just to restore them, and it isn't just to give them vineyards, and it isn't just to give them gardens. Although, if you've been to Israel in the past 20 years, you will see how beautiful it is and how wonderful it is, how it has grown, and how magnificent that even their enemies stand back and go, whoa, they've done all this in the past 70 years. And it's incredible and it's wonderful for the majority of it. But they are back in the land for a reason. You see, Jesus is a Messiah that comes twice. First, he comes to deal with sin. And secondly, he comes to deal with the one who dealt and created sin. And then he brings us to himself. And he makes us his eternally. And it's an eternal purpose. It's a promise. And it's all connected with the people and the land, and with us. Does Israel have a second covenant with God? Oh no. We cannot think that either. We are equally wrong if we think that God has a second covenant with Israel. He doesn't. God said in Jeremiah 31 that I will create a new covenant with Judah and Israel. You got that? With Judah and Israel. I will create a new covenant. And when Paul speaks about this new covenant in Romans chapter 9, 10 and 11, he is not talking about a different covenant. He's talking about the same covenant. There is one olive tree. And Gentile believers are linked in with that olive tree. They are grafted in. We are part. Ephesians 3 verse 5 says that we have become heirs, joint heirs with Israel in one new covenant. And that's what I support. When people ask me, do you support Israel regardless? I go, actually, no, I don't. And it shocks them. But you're focused on Israel. You're there to support them, whatever. No. You must understand. I do not support Israel. I support the God of Israel. There's the difference. Amen? You've got to support the God of Israel and what he says and his purposes and his aims. And believers, it's not about just supporting Israel. It's not just about the land. It's not just about the people. It's about God's people, God's purposes, God's future. And I will serve God's future. And if God wants Israel in the land, then I serve God. If he wants me to support that because of his end time purposes, then I have to go, I don't care what anyone else thinks, I support that. But I also support that we must live in righteousness and holiness. Amen? And do what is right. That I also support. That this isn't just a physical battle. This is a spiritual battle that is going on. And we have to understand the difference between it. It doesn't mean that our warfare, and if you like, isn't just spiritual. Because it happens, it affects us here on earth as well. But we have to live in holiness in order to do that. But when we do, we realize something significant is happening. Yes, Israel is back in the land. And I believe that is the purposes of God. But there are many people who don't want them in the land. And many don't understand how quickly, have you noticed how quickly people have turned their hatred against Jewish people, whoever they are, in these past 2 years, since October the 7th? It is because there has been an underlining anti-Semitism running through the hearts of people. And it's not about just anti-Semitism, it's about anti-God. It's about the anti-purposes of God, that Satan does not want the purposes of God to be fulfilled. And part of it is about Israel. And because of that, there is an anti-Semitic attitude towards Jewish people. And there is a hatred. And sometimes it's an unreasonable hatred. You speak to people and you ask them. I do this all the time. I ask them, what is your hatred? And they can't answer. They don't know. They're just following the crowds. And because of that, there is a spirit that is rising up, not only in our country, but many other countries and many hearts of people. They don't even understand why. And it's because Satan doesn't like the purposes of God and the plans and the ways of God. Are you with me? You understand? And because of this, we have to do what is right in God. And so our heart is to educate people about God's purposes, not just about Israel. We teach people about the history of our faith, that our faith actually is Hebraic. Jesus was Jewish, whether you like it or not. Always was. Who is Jesus in heaven? Do you know what his name is in heaven? It's not Yeshua. It's the Lion of Judah. He never stops his Jewish background. He is the Lion of Judah who breaks every chain. That is what they call him in heaven. The Lion of Judah. And he is my lion. And he is your lion. He is the whole world's lion. But he is also Israel's lion. And we have to support, I will come back to that, the purposes of God. And one of those purposes is not only to educate about our Hebraic background, that all the disciples were Jewish. The Apostle Paul never stopped being Jewish. He said, right at the end of his ministry, when he was brought before, he was in prison and he was brought before all of the Jewish leaders in Rome, and he says, of the law, I am blameless. In other words, he stayed kosher. All his life. There's a misunderstanding of this. That's what he meant. They couldn't put a finger of accusation against him. But still he believed that before anything and everything was this, he was a servant of Jesus Christ, the Lord his God. And so I teach people about the Hebraic background, but in the understanding is that it is for a purpose, that we become one new man in Christ Jesus. And then secondly, is to stand up against anti-Semitism. And you know, the biggest arena for anti-Semitism in the history has been the church. The church have done everything they can to revile and to destroy the Jewish people. Oh, she's fine. It's okay. Don't worry. She's fine. Over the ages. Many Christians do not know our history of what we've done to the Jewish people. Romans 10 tells us, and Romans 11 as well, tells us that we are here to make the Jewish jealous. Is that correct? Yes? What have we done? We've made them hate us. We've made them fear us. We've made them want to despise the Jesus, that the one who come who could save them, because of what Christians have done over the centuries. And so our biggest project at the moment is called The Persecuted. And it is one of the biggest projects, and I'm not being arrogant here, it's one of the biggest projects that's being undertaken about getting into the church and understanding of anti-Semitism and the history of the church's anti-Semitism. And we are working hand in glove with a Jewish organization. The organization is called the Leon Greenman Trust. And Leon was one of two British Jews who were sent to Auschwitz. He survived. Incredible. You've heard of the tattooist of Auschwitz? Maybe you've heard of that. Well, Leon was a barber of Auschwitz. Crafty, cheeky little East End market boy. And when he got put into Auschwitz, he goes and he realized someday up and he goes, do you know what? I'm a barber. I'll cut everyone's hair for you. Every Jew that comes in, I'll cut their hair because you don't want to touch them. And I clean their hair and I wash their hair. And they go, okay, you're a barber? He goes, yeah. Heck was he. I don't think he'd cut anyone's hair in his life. He was sharp. And because of that, he survived 5 years. Sadly, his wife and his little baby son didn't. And he didn't know that until the end. And when he got out of Auschwitz, he was brought back to Britain. And he spent the rest of his life trying to share with people about the horror of anti-Semitism and the dangers that it does. And we have joined with their organization and we are setting up anti-Semitism in the church and its history. And that's what we're doing at the moment. We're on this project. We're not here to condemn the church. We want people to understand the dangers and the power of negative input that this has, not only into the church, but into the message of Jesus Christ that is to go to the Jewish people. We hope that you can follow us with this. It's going to be released fairly soon. We're going to have 3 books, but then we're going to have other programs of just explain how we can create dialogue and discussion so that people can understand the negative impact that it has had in the church, and secondly, how we can restore God's heart, not only for the Jewish people, but his purposes for the church as well, and them together in Christ Jesus. So that's what we do, and that's, at the moment, my heart for Israel. As I share a word with you, I will put a little bit more into there. But I also want you to get something out of it. So that's it, really, of what we're doing in Israel. And my heart with what's going on in the land at this moment. How do we pray? Well, we pray that Israel gets washed. The Lord does something wonderful. He is already. Trust me, when I went to Israel the first time, there was one congregation and about 200 people who are Messianic believers. Now, there are hundreds of congregations and thousands of thousands of Jewish believers in Christ Jesus. And it's growing. And it's growing even more since the problem started. Oh, and that didn't want me. Sorry, I'm just trying to sort myself out here. And it's wonderful. It's not all bad. God is doing such an amazing thing. There is a lot of trauma in the land at the moment. There's a lot of heartbreak. There's a lot of counseling that needs going on. There's a lot of young people who are desperate for hope and peace. And they're turning to the Lord. Because there they're finding out the true peace. And it comes through the true Jewish Messiah, who is Jesus. And it's wonderful what's happening. But now let's turn to what I feel also is right to come and share with you. What's today in the calendar? Palm Sunday. I want to share a little bit about Palm Sunday. So Luke 19, 35 to 41, have we got that, please? Do you want to sing a song, actually, while we get that ready? Do you want to break a song? We'll break for a song for a second, if you want.